Let's turn in our Bibles to Psalm 15. This is where King David is asking some questions. Psalm 15. These are some questions he might ask today. Lord, who may dwell in your sacred tent? Who may live on your holy mountain? And in other words, he's saying, who can experience this presence of being with God, of being with you? Then he answers the question. He says, the one whose walk is blameless, who does what is righteous, who speaks the truth from their heart, whose tongue utters no slander, who does no wrong to a neighbor and casts no slur on others. He's talking about those who live and walk with integrity. This is the, if you heard the phrase, walk the talk. That's what integrity does. You walk the talk. Then he goes on to say in verse 5, who lends money to the poor without interest and who does not accept a bribe against the innocent, who does these things will never be shaken. I think that's really key there at the end. Whoever walks uprightly, fears the Lord, whoever lives with integrity will not be shaken. Why is it today in our culture when we see some kind of integrity, we're shocked? It's featured on the news. Take a look at this little short video that was taken from the news.
Okay, we've got a story now that ought to restore your faith in humanity. This morning, a man from Honduras lost his wallet, stuffed with $4,000 in cash. Lost it in the middle of Times Square, no less. But perhaps miraculously, that wallet found its way back to him, cash and all. Eduardo Martinez's wallet, in Spanish. He said there are still honest people out there. Eduardo showed us all the cash inside the wallet, still there. He says he was rushing to get to work on time when he dropped it near Broadway and 49. A woman, commuting at the same time, found it and gave it the money to two police officers. The officers later saw Eduardo frantically looking for his wallet. They matched the identification in the wallet, and they gave it back to him, all the money there. He and the officers posed for a photo. Eduardo told us he is so grateful for the woman and the police.
Then it's something that, rather than honesty being so normal, integrity being exampled to the world, being so used to seeing that, that we have to put on TV when someone actually acts with integrity. And I thought to myself, what have we come to? Where, how is it that we lack so much integrity? We should be shocked, you know, but because every day we open up the news, we turn on the TV, open up an app, we see another leader, another celebrity, another politician, another journalist has lost their integrity. And sometimes we see it as a friend or family who claim one thing in their life, but they live another. I bet everyone here has a friend or a family member that does that. How do we walk with integrity? Let me raise this question of what, before I raise the question of what integrity is, let me look at what integrity is not. And ruling out what integrity is not seems a little harder, but actually it eliminates a lot of misunderstandings. Because here's the first one. Integrity is not perfection. Here at Ocala Christian Church, we call ourselves the perfect church for imperfect people because we all recognize we have all failed. We've all stumbled at times. There's no perfect person in this room. If you're a perfect person and you accidentally stumbled in here, you're probably very uncomfortable. Because the rest of us are really screw-ups. And we really openly acknowledge that to people because we realize that we're going to do our very best to live and honor God, but we're not perfect. And really, if you're saying you have to be perfect to have integrity, then Jesus is the only person who ever had integrity because he was sinless. We're going to look at a life of integrity that might also be an integrated life. Now, what I mean by that, we get the word integrity from the Latin word integer. That word means whole, it means one or complete. And what would our life look like if we were living our life as a whole rather than in part? I think that's one of the things we need to recognize that we also is not integrity, is that living, I'd say, a compartmentalized life. living a You ever do that? I guess that just happens when you get old. God wants us to live a whole life rather than broken up into smaller pieces. Instead, he wants us to be whole. That's that integer number, that integrity number. For example, you have a professional life, but you never want it to interfere with your private life and never want them to know about your private life. Or possibly you have your family life and you never want them to get involved in anything with your business or your work or anybody you work with and you keep them away. Or your social life. You don't want anybody to know your social life and your professional life, and you try to keep those separate. And of course, your spiritual life. You know, you have a spiritual life, but you try to keep them away from your professional life and your social life. And really, when we're compartmentalizing, see, I can't say it. When we're compartmentalizing our lives like that, we're not really being the whole that God wants us to be. God wants us to completely integrate our lives, to all be one. And it can happen in our lives because we find that they complement each other. For example, your family life should complement your social life. When you're out talking with people, when you're out visiting with people, being who you are as a believer should be part of that. It would probably come up naturally in conversations, your faith in one way or another. Or there are people who work in a professional role, and they've worked with people for years, and not one of them realizes that they are a Christian. They've never, ever stated their faith. They've never, ever promoted their faith. They've never done anything that would let anybody know they have a faith. They've kept them so secret, so separate, that they don't have anything to do with each other. But see, God wants our lives to be impacting each other. God wants our lives to be rolled into one, to be a whole, not be compartmentalized like that. So what is integrity? Integrity is this. Integrity is when your behavior matches your beliefs. Integrity is when your behavior matches your belief. I'm going to make it as clear as I can. I'm going to say it three or four ways to make sure we get understanding. It's to show on the outside world a reflection of what's on the inside. Proverbs 10:9 says this, "Whoever walks in integrity walks securely, but whoever takes crooked paths will be found out." I don't know you, but I've made mistakes in my life. Anybody here ever make a mistake in their life? Oh, if you're sitting next to somebody who did, and you need to probably hang around them more because they got it worked out, I guess. But I've made mistakes in my life. And there are times when I've made those mistakes and I thought, I hope nobody saw that. You ever done that before? You're just like, you did something stupid. You're like, you're looking. First thing you do is, you know, like you fall. I've done this before. I fall. Yeah, and I'm not thinking, oh, am I okay? Are my bones okay? Did I break anything? I'm looking around, it's like, did anybody see that? Come on, you've been there. You know that, don't you? You're like, yeah, I don't want to be stupid. Yeah, and we do that at times. But sometimes we're more concerned about what the world thinks about us than how we really are. And of course, we all do things, and sometimes we make mistakes, and we don't want the world to know about our mistakes because we're just really vain, and that's just the way we're wired. But we're talking about keeping secrets from the world and keeping secrets from the people that are closest to you. Integrity is when your private life is consistent with your public life. To say it in a different way, it's who you are when no one's looking. Let that soak in just a moment. Are you the same when no one's around and you're all by yourself as you are when you're surrounded by a group of people? You see, that's integrity. Now, don't get confused with integrity and reputation. Two different things. Reputation is what others think you are. You do things in public, reputation is what you have. You have a reputation, a public reputation. Integrity is who you really are. You see the difference between the two? The world's trying really hard to build a good reputation. You see politicians out campaigning, trying to have a good reputation. You see other people in business and other places, they're trying to get a good reputation. But it tells us nothing about their integrity, who they really are. We're called to have an integrity, which is saying who we are on the inside. What's the opposite of integrity? Well, that would be hypocrisy. In fact, it's interesting, the word hypocrite that we all know, it's come from the Greek word hypocrites. And if you've ever watched one of those old ancient plays in Greece, they would have a face on both sides of a stick, and they would be in the play, and they would play one person's part, and then they would flip the face, and then they would play another person's part. Those are called Hippocrates. And that's why when we get the word hypocrite, sometimes people say you are two-faced. You see where you get it? That's a hypocrite. That's a hypocrite. And you know, it's one of the big lines. People say, oh, you know, Christians, they're a bunch of hypocrites. Well, first of all, there's always room for one more. Come join us. Because we have all at some times failed and not shown our best side. All of us. But we're talking about what Jesus had to say about them. Jesus was harder on hypocrites than he was on prostitutes and adulterers. He came down really hard on them. He just really, they were pretending to be something they were not. And that really, really upset Jesus. You see the Matthew Gospel 23, verse 25. He says, woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. That's the word, Hippocrates. You clean the outside of the cup. In other words, you're putting on an exterior show. But inside, you're full of greed and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisee, first clean the inside of the cup and dish, and then the outside will also be clean. Jesus is telling us that it's not just what you show on the outside that matters, but what's on the inside. That sounds an awful lot like an integrated life to me. Let me illustrate it this way. A well-known home builder had worked for this massive construction company for many years. He's one of their top foremen. They'd been known for crafting the finest homes in the area. Well, this foreman was getting older, and he had told his boss many years earlier that when he hit 40 years, he was retiring. Even reminded him a couple of years before he hit 40. And about 6 months before he was to turn 40, his boss came to him and said, would you build me one more house? Well, the man was absolutely enraged. He said, you know I want to retire. I've told you for years I'm ready to retire. We have plans. We're going to travel. He said, I know, but we've had a 40-year friendship. I'm just asking you personally as a friend, would you build one more house for me? I would just personally take it as a favor. He didn't like it, but he did. He started on the plans, and I got to tell you, his heart wasn't in it. He would contact subs that he didn't normally use because he could get a hold of them easily because they weren't working, because nobody wanted to hire them. He'd get them to come in and do the job, and they wouldn't do a very good job. He would cut corners wherever he could. He many times had to, or he ordered materials that he normally would never have used, but he could get them cheaply and he could get them quickly because sometimes you couldn't get the right pieces and you had to wait on them. And he wanted to get this done. So he got the cheaper pieces and the cheaper wood and he brought in all these things and he had these people working and he cut corners. He did everything he could to get this house done and slapped together. Sure enough, it was finally done and the owner of the company came to him and he said, I want to apologize for asking you to build this last house. I know you want to retire, and we do appreciate your 40 years. And to prove that, here are the keys to your new house. That building, that recognized what we all recognize, that you are building your home. Everything you say, everything you do, every place you go, every interaction you have, you are building your home. Whether you do the right or you cut corners, whether you choose to be generous or choose to be selfish, whether you choose to honor, whether you choose to build, tear others down, whether you choose to extend grace, whether you choose to judge people, whether you're truth or tell lies, you are building your own house of integrity. Integrity matters. Let me speak just a moment to the grandparents and the parents that are here. You're building a legacy. What happens in your home matters more than you can possibly imagine. The fastest way to raise rebellious children is to claim one thing and live another. The fastest way to turn your children against God and from the things of God is to claim the things of God publicly but live your life far from God privately. You can't tell your children that worshiping God is something we should do, but you lead your family outside of worship to go to the beach or to go golfing or go to wherever and do whatever. Kids are little lie detectors. They see everything. They put the dots together. They know when you're saying that, they're thinking, that's not what they said before. Live your life with integrity so that you can raise your children and your grandchildren in integrity. Let me ask, what's your integrity worth? That may shock you to ask that, but almost everybody has a price. For example, if you lie on a resume, you get a job, and how much money did you make your first year? $40,000, $50,000, $60,000, $70,000? That's your price for sharing, giving up your integrity. If you falsify an expense report or embezzle something from work, that ream of paper is the price of your integrity. You cheat on an exam, you get a better grade. What's your integrity worth? Maybe the $29 or whatever it is you steal from your neighbor's Wi-Fi each month. That's what your integrity is worth. Maybe it's the $14.99 a month you're using your friend's login on Netflix. And that's what your integrity's worth. Well, that hurt, didn't it? What's your integrity worth? Is it like the $8 when you lie about your kid's age to get a discount? Oh, that hurt. I can tell you the number of times we were Disney members for years. We went to Disney a lot. I see these parents talking to their kids outside of the line. You're 3 years old. You're 3 years old. You're three. But I'm four. But you're 3 years old today. You're 3 years old today. And I'd see them walk up in the line because I'd always make sure I want to see this. And he'd walk up and the cast member would say, well, hi, sweetie. How old are you? Over and over again. How much is your integrity worth? Let me say it this way. When you have integrity, nothing else matters. And when you don't have integrity, nothing else matters. It's about integrity. Psalm 139 is a powerful prayer of King David. And I'm going to tell you, I challenge you to pray this prayer, but only if you're serious about what the prayer says. You don't want to pray it if you don't mean it. David said this, search me. Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. You don't want to pray that prayer if you don't mean it. You don't want God testing you. You don't want God looking at your heart regularly and comparing it if you're not serious. It's a difficult prayer because our heart, Scripture says, is deceitful above all things. It's difficult to see truth, especially in ourselves. Let me wrap this up with three areas to examine. I always try in a message to say, here's an issue, here's what God's word says about it, here's something we can do. I don't want to just leave you and say, yep, life's messed up, yep, we live in it, goodbye. I want to give you something to take with you to say, here's something we can do. Here are three areas to examine. It's sort of like the check engine light in the car, that whenever these things kind of pop up, they're a check engine light to warn you to say, you need to look further. Here's the first. Where are you the most defensive? Now, you may be defensive because I ask you that question, but where are you the most defensive? When someone talks to you about your faith, someone talks to you about your life, where are you the most defensive? I don't know about you. I've discovered that where I'm the most defensive is often where I'm the most vulnerable. So take that in consideration. What makes you flinch? Here's two. What is it that you don't want others to know? Now, I'm going to be real sincere that all of us have some things that are private. We don't necessarily want everyone to know your business, and they don't have to. But what are the things that you would be not just embarrassed because it makes you embarrassed, but things that you know are wrong? Things that you say or do or places you go that you know would not honor God, and you keep those secret. I would really suggest if you're married, share your schedule, share your phone with your spouse. Make sure that you each have each other's passwords. Nothing is hidden from each other. Regularly go through that phone, regularly look and see. There should be nothing hidden. If you aren't married, find a trusted friend that you can be your, have as your accountability partner. I once got a call from a total stranger. He was asking me, he had been asked to be the accountability partner for somebody who was on my staff at that time. And he was calling to say that that staff member had a problem with porn. And they had put this app on there originally to keep him from going to porn sites, but it was supposed to report to this accountability friend if he went to some place he wasn't supposed to. And he was getting some reports, and he had confronted his friend, and his friend wasn't listening, and he asked me, would you talk to him? You need to have somebody holding you accountable. And here's the third one. What do you criticize in others? I've discovered that I criticize hardest on the things that I reflect the weakest on. Search my heart, O God, and see if there is any offensive way in me, says the prayer. Acknowledge the areas where you're inconsistent and weak, and allow God's word to teach you. Maybe you exaggerate stories so they would admire you, or maybe you speak poorly about others behind their backs. Maybe you gossip and make it spiritual, but it's still good old gossip. Yeah, maybe it's your taxes, you cut corners, and you don't pay what you truly owe. You might have a hidden sin that you hide from everyone, but God knows. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Let me just tell you this truth. Your integrity is easier to keep than it is to recover. Because when you've lost your integrity, it takes a long time to get it back. It's easier to keep than to recover. Do what is right and trust God for the results. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Let that be your prayer. Would you pray with me? Father, we realize when we talk about this issue of integrity that there's no one who knows our hearts better than you. You know them, Father, even better than we do, because we want to turn a blind eye to some things. We want to pretend like they aren't there. But Lord, you can see what we cannot see. You can sense when we're struggling. Father, our prayer is that you will look at our hearts. You will test us. You will help us to be pure and help us to maintain integrity. Lord, we live in a very difficult time. This culture is a mess. We're called to live differently in this culture. We're called to be a stranger and sojourner. We're not supposed to be like this culture. We're to stand out in this culture because this is not our home. So the things of this world are not the things of the world that we are tied to or we're encouraged by or we are connected to, Father. Help us to keep our eye on the goal. Help us, as a friend of mine used to say, help us to keep the main thing the main thing. Lord, I pray as we enter into this time of decision that we look carefully into our hearts. We look carefully and be honest with ourselves of where we are with you, how we are living our lives, and how we are or are not honoring you. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.